Blog Talk Radio.
I was watching, you know what it was? I was listening to Jim Cornette's podcast, and he's like, why do they ring the bell 14 million times? I mean, they really make them think that they're going to stop. But anyways, for the people listening to us, you're here. You're at UWC Radio, the United Wrestling Council. I'm your host, Fabi Chulo, and I got one of the co-owners of the United Wrestling Council, along with Manny Pinson, is Michael Parks. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing well. How's everybody doing out there?
For the people listening to us, we got, you know, so much to talk about. We were completely blindsided, you know, went off the air. We got to talk about for about 15 minutes or whatever. So before we went on air, I told Mike, I said, look, man, if I cut out, I'm going to try to jump on my house phone. And, you know, it might be like a quick 1 or 2 minutes while I switch up. Hopefully we'll get back on. Just keep talking. Tuesday, I did the show and it went completely no problems. So I think Blog Talk has got the, you know, everything fixed and they're good to go. So hopefully we shouldn't have any problems. If we do, we'll try to correct them as soon as possible. I called Jason Green. Actually left a message and said, look, man, you know, we're sorry for what happened. Why don't you come back on and we'll talk. Haven't heard from him. So I don't know what's going on, man. I know he's a preacher. He works for a specific church. I don't know if that's the proper word, works, but he is involved with the church and they're doing a lot of online stuff, but just, you know, a lot. Do you, Michael Parks, do you actually follow Jason Green on his social media?
You know, I have not. I will begin to, though, because, you know, I have the opportunity to get in contact with him and he seems like a solid guy. So yeah, I'm going to start following him.
I'm going to put you on there and maybe at the live broadcast or something, we can have him lay hands on you or something because, you know, well, God knows you need it. But anyways.
Wow. Wow. Lord help him.
Let me tell you, when he comes out, you know, when we wrestle, because I've only wrestled him in some battle royals and some tag teams and stuff, but when he comes out, he's got the gear on and everything, and when you see him, you're like, man, you know what song comes to mind for some reason, which has absolutely nothing to do with it, is that song, remember by the OJs, money, 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 for some reason, because his stuff is just, is so clean, you know, it's the whole, you know, I don't know what you call the outfit. You know, it's got like the scarf on it and everything. And then his
right.
the line, he gets his beard done with the straight edge, and his lines are like razor sharp. I mean, it's just amazing. It's like perfect. So when he comes out, I'm like, man, this dude, you know, not only he just looks like money or whatever. So, anyways, we'll try to get him back on, you know, soon, maybe next week or whatever. So, but in the meantime, we'll talk, I talked to the Chivos earlier and they're like, hey bro, you know, what's up with the live broadcast and stuff. And I'm like, yeah, you know, giving them the information for that. And I said, you know, I got a lot of feedback for the people listening to us. Michael Parks actually called into the Wrestle Boss podcast that I do for Lucha Central, because even though it's kind of, I don't want to say old news, but it happened, you know, a while back, but there's just so much talk about it. And real quick, before we get into that, you know, talking about what happened with Conan and Psicosis Ripper, or Psicosis 2, which is Leon Negro or whatever, you know, he smacked Conan and kind of confronted him and stuff like that. You know, I was, before we went on the air, Mike, I was watching a bunch of clips. And which is smart, which Conan does, is they keep asking him about it. He goes, I'm not going to talk about it anymore because that's what he wants. That's going to get him the publicity that he was looking for. So if I just ignore it and don't say anything about it, it's just going to go away, you know, because that's exactly why he did it. That's why it happened, because, you know, he's trying to get his name out there. So if I keep talking about it, it's going to keep it out there. He goes, so just right. Shut it down. And then one reporter was like, well, did he really hurt you? And he goes, look at my face. He goes, you see, I'm okay. He goes, all right, yeah, he hit me hard, but I'm okay. Move on. Let's move on. And I think that's the best thing that he can do, because we had this problem. And Michael Parks, I'm pretty sure you can kind of relate to this. When you're on top of your game, or you're, let's say, in the upper echelon of your sport or something like that, there's always going to be haterism, and there's always going to be somebody that's trying to knock you down. So real quick, before we get to the Chivos, they're going to come on about 7:15 or so. I got both of them, Guyam and Enigma, going to come on, because I'm going to talk to them a little bit. Hey, I didn't mean to get – I go, hey, I got the Chivos on because they've been wrestling since 1946, so they'll know. it's funny because we were in the back or whatever, and he goes, yeah, you know, Guyam's talking. He goes, yeah, I'm this and that. I go, is that when you were going hole for hole with Bruno in the Madison Square Garden? Or when he goes, what? But anyways, we had – and, you know – For the people that are listening to us, my partner for years was Sergio Baez, who wrestled as the Unholy. And when we got to be about 30 years old or so, like mid-30s, he says, you know what, man, I don't know how long we can keep doing this. He goes, I'm going to go to school for broadcasting. He said, are you down to do a show? And I'm like, yeah, absolutely. So he learned, you know, to mix and run the board and all this. And we had a little show that came out in Santa Monica, in the Santa Monica area. And the for some reason, the third show we had, it was going to be all pro wrestling, but the third show that we had, we used to work with Thomas Kenny and John Della O and King of the Cage and all this stuff. So Mike Guyman was fighting for King of the Cage, and he was part of Tap Out. So Thomas Kenny said, hey, can you get those guys up? We're like, absolutely. So when they all came, everybody, Mask, Scrape, Punk Ass, the Joker, they all came down, and we did our thing. And you know, Charles, the owner, was like, hey, man, you know, I think you guys got something here. He goes, let's hook up, man. Let's do some work. And then he made us the Tap Out Locals, and we started doing good. So when they hit the peak, you know, because at one time, you know, Mike, I'm going to say about maybe 2007 or so, Tap Out was at its peak in MMA. And we were doing the radio show. We had somebody that was also doing a radio show that completely sabotaged us. You know, this is what happened. There's a guy named you could look him up, Michael, when you get a chance. His name is Vinny Magallanes, and he's a big time. He was a big time fighter back then, and then he's still competing in jiu-jitsu. Probably one at least in the top 10 of jiu-jitsu practitioners. You know, Abu Dhabi competitor, all that stuff, right? So this person, which was a lady, went and told him that I said that I was going to whoop his ass. I didn't even – I knew who Vinny I never met him or anything. So he's like, what? And he's like, ah. So anyways, we go to Vegas, and I said, hey, man, I guess I'm going to have to take an ass whooping or whatever. So when I walk into his gym, which was in Las Vegas, which was right by the Mandalay Bay, and big garrote dude, big buffed out jiu-jitsu Brazilian guy. I walk in his gym, and I go, hey, man, I'm Fabiano from Tap Out Radio. And he looked at me like that, and he goes, man, what's up, man? And I go, I don't know where that came from. I said, this person just put that out there because they're trying to, you know, they're trying to get us off the air because, you know, they want to succeed. We ended up becoming the best of friends. I had him on my show probably 5 or 6 times. So I'm like, nah, F that, man. I'm going to confront this person. And Sergio, even though he's crazy, he goes, let it go. He goes, the best thing you could do is ignore it. If you ignore it, go away. I guarantee you. Sure enough, never said another word about it, and the person just went away. So that's kind of the advice that Conan's taking with this. Hey, man, you know, whatever. You got your little 5 minutes of fame. That's it. And which we were talking about also, Mike, was how he said, if you're talented, your talent will speak for itself. Somebody will pick you up. If you're not working in AAA, you know, CMLL pick you up or, you know, the Crash or whatever. So it kind of makes sense. Don't you agree, Mike?
Yeah, but, you know, now nobody wants – I mean, who wants to pick somebody up who's, excuse my French, ballsy enough to go up and smack the booker?
Yeah, yeah. You know? Or looking for publicity that way, right?
I mean, it's just, you know, that's so unprofessional. And, you know, you're pretty much sealing your fate to people wanting you to come and work. Even if you are, you have elite talent, dude, I don't want you working for me. Mm-hmm. I don't, because the first moment you get butt hurt, and you don't get that Herculean feeling that you want to come confront somebody, I'm not Conan.
Right.
I'm not Conan. You're not.
But it's funny because I had Nicolette with me on the show too. She helps me co-host on that show, and she brought up a good point. She said, you know, people know who to pick on. You know, you know Conan. He's not like he used to be. You know, he's not all buffed out wrestler and all that. He's been through a lot, man. He's had hip replacement and all that stuff. You know, he's not like the guy. So, of course, he's going to go up. What's up, man? And, you know, Leo Negro was all todo garrote and everything. And, you know, and he took a shot. And I think if I remember correctly, I said, yeah, he wouldn't walk up on Brian Cage like that and go,
no,
what's up, man? You know, exactly.
No.
So they do know who to pick on. So we're gonna talk a little bit more about that. I mean, I hate to beat a dead horse, but it's out there. I mean, people were saying, well, why didn't he do this? And how come he didn't get his boys to whip it? And then why did he back that he could have at least like double legged him and got him to the ground to try to at least save face? I'm like, dude, come on, man. So we'll talk a little bit more about that with the Chivos and talk about that amongst other things. But before we continue, for the people listening to us on Blog Talk Radio, don't forget, you can always check out United Wrestling Council Radio here every Friday from 7 to 8:30. So far, everything's been back on track and going good. No more getting cut off in the middle of the show or whatever. But for sure, we've been working on this for quite some time now. You got to go check out Paul's photo. And we're going to have a live broadcast. It's going to be Saturday, August 29th. It's at Paul's Photo at 23845 Hawthorne Boulevard in the city of Torrance. It's going to be at 10 a.m. We're going to go live from 10 a.m. till about 12 noon, which is usually we go till about 12:30, 1 o'clock because, you know, we get so many people that want to come on and some of them go train in the morning and then they come back. So we'll make sure that we take care of them. So you can come and meet the wrestlers from the United Wrestling Council. The Chivos are going to be there. I talked to Captain Corona. I talked to Manny Mars, I talked to O'Neill Fletcher from Conca Gear, Giovanni Varela from Anaconda Academy, Javi Vasquez. I mean, even just the wrestlers, but some of the jiu-jitsu practitioners who fight, you know, King of the Cage, fight in Bellator, a bunch of people are going to, I'm like, hey, man, bring your gi, because we're going to be taking a lot of pictures and stuff like that. And they're like, yeah, are you going to bring your gi? And I'm like, no, I'll probably think, well, bring your gi. Then we could take some pictures of us choking you out. And then I'm like, hey, man, don't get crazy. or whatever. Go ahead.
Hey, if I got to take a chop, you getting choked out.
I know, man. You know, when I went to Anaconda Academy, man, they brought the smallest guy that they had, but I didn't know he was like a 2 or 3 time judo world champion. I'm like, man, I'm 285 pounds. I'm gonna squish this dude. That dude dug his hips, dude. When they dig those hips into you, and you're up, like you have nowhere to go. You can't like put your feet back down. You're going. Like he held me there for a little while. I'm like, dude, is this dude? And bam, next thing I knew, I was flat on my back. It was just amazing. So a lot of those guys are going to come down. If you want to check it out, don't forget, it's going to be at Paul's Photo. It's at 23845 Hawthorne Boulevard in the city of Torrance. It's going to be from about 10 till 12. We're going to play some Chop Trivia. We're going to have some giveaways, plus the live broadcast. You know, we get everybody on there. We do a live show. Usually we tape it, I upload it, and then we can put it on Blog Talk so you can check it out there. We're going to have music. And you know, of course, people say, well, can we bring the kids? I said, absolutely, man. Bring the kids so you can take some pictures and things of that nature, because it's always a good time. I control the music, so I got whatever you want. If you want to hear some cumbias, if you want to hear some merengue or some, you know, whatever. I'm not too, you know, it's funny when you get old, I'm not too keen on this rap or whatever they got no going now. Jessica listens to it in the car when we're on our way to work or whatever, but she'll be there so she can kind of help me if we want to push, because it's like something Rich Brothers, 8 Figures, that's my type, something like that. I'm like, what is this? You know, when you get older.
What in the hell are we listening to?
And they're like, what are you, 80 years old or whatever? So it's going to be fun. But, hey, big ups to Paul's photo. Big ups to Paul's photo for jumping on. You know, we talked a little bit about it. And when I call these people, I say, hey, you know, Paul's photo is a legit. Not only is it, you know, where they could rent the stuff, they can repair your cameras, you could take classes. I said, but, you know, they also have a studio where you could take some really nice pictures. You know, the best thing when you're a wrestler or whatever you take some really nice 8x10s in your gear, you know, if Japan calls and they say, hey, can you send us some pictures? Bam, you send them a nice 8x10. They're going to say, hey, this guy's professional, man. Let's get him on there. So Paul's Photo will take care of you. So I tell these guys, hey, bring your gear. Let's get some pictures and we'll make it look real nice. So we'll talk a little bit more about that when we get the Chivos on. I'm going to take a quick break. We're going to call Guyan first. Then we'll get Enigma on the air, and we'll start talking about wrestling in 1946. Hold on, everybody. We'll be right back. You know, whatever you do, please don't tell Guyan that I said that they were wrestling back in 1946, because if you read the post today, everybody keeps saying that him and I need to continue our feud and maybe settle it in the cage. So, Michael Parks,
yeah, I think
we have
access. Your call has been forwarded to an automated voice messaging system. 5.
Whoa. Hold on a second. Sorry about that. Try one more time. If not, we'll call Enigma first.
Okay.
Let me get everything ready. I don't want to give his voicemail out on the air. He might be. It's 7:15. He might be eating the burritos de cuero de chivo. Hey, Guyan, it's Fabiano. You're live on the radio. Can you hear me?
Yes, I could hear you, and I put my mask on, too.
Hey, it's beautiful. For the people listening to us, you're here. You're at UWC Radio. Don't forget, you can check us out every Friday right here from 7 to 8:30. I got one of the co-owners, Michael Parks, with me, along with Manny Pinson. Manny's usually at home taking care of business, actually helping to get the sponsors. He's actually the one that helped us to get Paul's Photo to sponsor. But real quick, before we get to Guyan, I'm going to call Enigma real quick. Please don't tell me this, but when we were on the air, I go, well, I like to call Enigma because he's been wrestling since 1946, and he can...
Since the Roosevelt administration.
1946. You having a party over there?
He's been active since FDR.
Oh, wow.
Hey, Enigma, it's Fabiano. You're live. Can you hear me, my friend?
Yeah, I can hear you, brother. How are you doing?
Yeah, he's alive.
Hey, it's beautiful. But for the people listeners, you're here. You're at United Wrestling Council. Got Michael Parks, one of the co-owners with me, and, of course, Manny Pinson back at the office taking care of business for us. So doing really big things right now. But real quick, there's a lot I want to talk about, but before we get to that, I'll start with Guyan. Let me start with the Enigma. Enigma, I'm gonna be honest with you, man. When we first started and this whole COVID came about, I was talking to Mike and I was talking to Manny. I go, dude, you know, I say within 3 months they're gonna either find a vaccine or we'll do something so that we can get back to wrestling. It's not gonna last that long, but we're getting close to 5 months, man. And I'm gonna be honest with you, it is ridiculous. I haven't been able to go to a show. I haven't been able to, you know, wrestle or whatever. And now it's really starting to annoy me. So real quick before we continue on, give us your thoughts on that. I mean, to me, I don't think we're gonna be able to do a show till probably 2021. What are your thoughts on that?
I think you're right. But the one point I want to make to you, Fabiano, is I remember seeing that clip that you did, that you posted.
Which one?
You and my brother 2 years ago.
At EWS?
You know what? That was not good.
Hey.
You're lucky that I was not there because it would have carried on to the dressing room. And,
okay.
And you're sad that I didn't see that when I took you out of that arena with a towel over your head. Because I would have said the people just,
get him.
Go at him,
Hey, I'm going to be honest with you.
A good clip. That was not a good clip. I hate it.
I'm going to be honest with you. Wait, this is the God's honest truth. This is what happened. You know, Fletch Fugaz and Friar Juan Roman, we were talking, man, and he was like, hey, you know, and this is what they said. Guillem's trying to get all the glory. He's been trying to do it for a while. He's just going to run right over you. He's going to use you as a stepping stone, blah, 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 whatever. So when it could have been an accident, you know, because I can't move as fast as I used to. But, dude, he hit me with the patadas voladoras and boom, bacatelas y se acabó. So I'm like, dude, you know, whatever. So before I knew it.
Yeah.
I see Fletch and he's going like this, like, you know, give him the clothesline. So, boom, I gave him the clothesline. Before I knew it, they were in.
That clothesline was out of hand, brother. That clothesline was out of hand. And it shouldn't happen. You know what?
But
I'm very upset about it. And you know what? I'm training hard just to get back. Because when I see that clip, I hadn't seen it. But now I'm very, very, very upset. And I have your picture on the punching bag. I see that. I hit it with a clothesline. With a clothesline. With a 1-2-3 punch.
With some power. Hey,
well,
look.
It's coming back, brother.
It's not like, you know, it hasn't been. Dude, we're talking about a feud that's been going on for 20 years. You gave my partner, the Unholy, a senton. But he was flattened out on his stomach. So you gave him a sentón and hit him with it was full nalgas to the lower back, and I heard every bone or whatever pop in his back. And I said, hey,
that's
are you okay?
That's the name of the game, brother. That's another game. If you're not prepared, you're not prepared. And I am prepared now, and I was there now, and I'm prepared now, brother.
Yeah, you almost
Uh-oh.
Killed him. I was going to talk about this in a minute, but there was a lot of people on the internet and sending me messages that said the only way that you're going to be able to settle any type of feud with the Chivos or one-on-one is in the cage. You can't run, can't hide. Once you get in that cage, it's just you guys and the referee. So if Enigma is willing to get in the cage, you know, I'll bring back the Unholy and we could do that. If any way you guys want to do, because it's not like you guys, you know, like you guys don't owe me that or I owe you that, you know?
Hey, brother.
We never back up for nothing. Now, if you want a cage match, you got it, brother. But the only thing I'm telling you, is that clip was something that I had never seen before. And now it's revenge, brother. Now it's revenge. Now it's really personal, because when you hit one of the Chivos, now you mess with two of the Chivos, and this Chivo's really, really mad.
Guillem?
Hey, this sounds like
the funny thing is that in that post you say, "Oh, I lost my head." You lost your head. I almost lost my head because I mean that clothesline was serious business. I just remember seeing. In fact, I don't remember seeing anything. It was just lights out. I go, Jesus Christ, what hit me? Did you guys write the number of the van, the license plate? I went down hard, man, and boy, did that bring memories.
The people that are listening, where we were wrestling is out there in San Bernardino, like in the middle of nowhere. It's literally in between the mountains.
Big crowd, and I heard
it's a long drive.
When I came to, I heard the reaction of the crowd, but my brother he called me up today. He said, "Hey, did you see what Fabiano posted, man?" I said, "Shit, you know what? that just reminds me of all the concussions that happened over the years."
Well, hey,
and thank goodness for video, man, because, I mean, my personal video, it's pretty blank, you know?
Well, look, in all fairness to Guillem, he didn't say, okay, whatever. He said, look, if you really want to, come to Lucha Libre Alliance. We'll settle it there. So, honestly, that was a good clothesline, but God dang, and I still talk about it to this day.
I was snoring for a week.
When we had the end of the world, and you hit me with the maroma, he, for the people listening, Guyam hit me with the maroma from the third rope, and that ring at Lucha Libre Alliance is no joke. It has no give. I seriously thought like he busted my kidney or whatever, because it was all like just all body, right on my kidney. And I went, oh my, if it hurt all the way to my back. And all I hear is kind of going, get up, Fabiano, get up. And I'm like, I don't think I can.
It was very, it was a tough match, no doubt.
Yeah, definitely deserved, well-deserved if we want to have a rematch or whatever. But the people wanted it. The people are saying, look, the only way you're going to be able to settle is in the cage. I'm totally down once this COVID is over. If you want to do it at UWC or Lucha Libre Alliance or whatever, I'm totally down. You just, when everything is good, what's the word I'm looking for? The least I can do, But the Chivos – for the people listening to us on UWC Radio, the Chivos don't, like he said, they don't back down for nothing. If they say they're going to do it, it's going to happen. They're going to come, and they're going to give 100%. So we definitely look forward to that.
Right.
But,
absolutely, brother.
That's
always been since our the time of our dad. He came from the golden age of Mexico with Buddy Guerrero and Santo and Blue Demon and all these guys, all these tough guys. So, I mean, we're old school because we grew up watching these guys, just like the Guerreros, we all cut from the same fabric, the Guerreros, the Villanos, Chivos, Los Brazos. We all come from the same school, in the school of before was you just give it all up there, you leave it all up there, man. And there's no pulling punches. I mean, you just go strong. And when we go against tough guys like Fabiano and all these guys, there's a lot of talent here. And thankfully, in Lucha Libre Alliance, we pulled this talent, we have a roster that, wow. I know Vince McMahon would be very interested in our roster, but he won't get crap. He won't get crap because our boys are our boys, and that's that.
I would agree with that. Let me tell you something. There's no crowd like a Lucha Libre Alliance crowd, because Voodoo Master, when he was going against Gaivar, he came up to me and goes, hey, man, this guy's got experience. Can you come out with me? Just because I'm going to be honest, I don't know what this guy's going to do, blah, blah, blah. I say, yeah, man, I'll go out with you, no problem. Man, it's just my nature, man. I kept interfering because he kept getting this guy, he kept putting Voodoo in all these holds that Voodoo had never seen before. So I had to.
Gaivar is one of those kids that a lot of people don't know too much about him. But this guy has wrestled for Mexico City, for AAA, for Consejo Mundial de Lucha Libre, CML. Yeah, he's been around, that guy. And he'll surprise you. I mean, he's got some holes. He's a real low-key kind of guy in the dressing room. He hardly talks. He's a good boy. But once he's up there in the ring, boy, he will bring it on, and he can go anytime against anyone.
But somebody grabbed there was a broom that they used to sweep the ring in between matches, and somebody hit me, like, literally almost in the pipiripis with the broom. And I turn around and I tell Enigma, I go, dude, did you see that? I saw nothing. Hey, if you're out here and you want to be out here, that's what's gonna happen. So I turn around again. They're like, that's what you get, Fabiano, and all that. And then so finally, Enigma comes and goes, that's it, man. Get to the back. Once three strikes and you're out. So I got through. So Gaivar ended up going over. It was a big mess and everything like that. So the point I'm trying to make is that if you come to a Lucha Libre Alliance show, they don't mess around. If stuff starts going down, they get
you out of there. It's
fireworks. We're the real thing. We're the real thing.
Yes. So anyway, real quick.
All the way.
I got to take a quick break. Can you guys hang for just a few more minutes? There's a big subject that I want to talk to you guys about. Hang on, everybody. We'll be right back. Quick break.
We're charging by the minute.
Okay, we're out.
I'll announce them like they do in Japan. They go like this, Enigma de Oro Sunshine. And then they point to him. Hey, real quick for the people listening, you're here. You're at UWC Radio. I got Michael Parks, one of the co-owners with me. Manny is at home taking care of business, getting the sponsors, getting everything all set up. We got the Chivos, both of them with us today, both Kayam and Enigma de Oro. But real quick before we continue, for the people listeners, you got to come and check it out. It's a huge live broadcast. It's Saturday, August 29th. It's at Paul's Photo. It's at 23845 Hawthorne Boulevard. And the city of Torrance is going to be from 10 till about 12 noon. So if you want to come down, we're going to be doing a live broadcast. Paul's Photo is opening up the studio. He's going to take some pictures of the wrestlers so that he can put them on all his websites, social media, and everything like that. And if we got some wrestlers coming down and some jiu-jitsu guys and all that, going to take some pictures, make some really nice 8x10s. So I'll pose this to Enigma again. Some of these younger wrestlers don't understand that if you're trying to get somewhere and they say, well, can you send me a picture? If you send them a real nice glossy 8x10 or whatever, nice and professional, hey, this guy's, you know, professional. Let's give him a shot or whatever. You know, Enigma?
Yes.
So all the wrestlers are going to be there. They're going to come down in their gear. So if you want to come down, check it out, make sure you come and check it out. Now,
what I was going to ask you, Bobby. So we could get the world champ black medal down there maybe. And
absolutely.
And Vito, apparently, you want me to all call those guys.
Vito doesn't live too far from there at all. Yeah, Vito's right down the street in San Pedro. So right down the street. So, hey, if we bring Vito Fortelli and Gayam, that's the Lucha Libre Alliance Tag Team Champions right now.
That's right. You can
get a picture with them, with the belts and everything. So make sure you come down and check that out. That's going to be awesome. But real quick, you know, I'm going to plug that again later so that you guys can know where to go. And also, if you want to call in, you can always call 563-999-3016. Now, I gave that number, the call-in number on the Tuesday show because we got so much feedback. So real quick, if you guys can help me out with this, especially Gayam and Enigma de Oro, because they've been in the business.
Give that number one more time.
The call-in number, if you want to call in, is 563.
That's for right now.
That's for right now. That's for this show.
Okay.
But I'll give you the number to Paul's Photo so you can check it out. Here's what's going on, and this is for both Gayam and Enigma. And it happened a while back, but there's just been so much feedback. I've been getting so many, you know, like emails and messages asking me about this because, you know, I work for Lucha Central now on my Tuesday show, and Conan has a show. We work for the same company, so they kept asking me. Now, I had no idea that this happened until somebody told me, and I watched it a while back. I guess, you know, Psicosis Ripper, we used to work as Leon Negro in Tijuana and all that, and they made him the other Psicosis. So I don't know exactly what happened, but did you get a chance to see where he confronted Conan at a show? And he went back and forth.
It was a fist fight. And you know what? Look, that's the nature of our business, Bobby. You know that.
Uh-huh.
There's a lot of politics in our business. But when it comes, it always comes down to the true grit of the guy. You know, our business is a violent business. I mean, that's just the name of the game. It's like any other physical contact sport, boxing, football.
Right.
And I mean, you could be a gentleman and you can try. You know, you try. You know, but
yeah,
he always taught us to be gentle men. But I mean, in one instant. I mean, the blood boils. That's just the way it is. That's why we're in this crazy business. And
right.
So these guys, they already obviously had bad blood, and things turned ugly. And that's just the way it is, man. I mean, these guys are well known and all that, but it happens all the time. I mean, I'm in the gym with guys, and I gotta break up fights all the time. Hey, remember last Sunday, you son of this and that. Well, you didn't see you son of a bitch. And it just carries. But that's what makes pro wrestling so beautiful. And when people disrespect it, it breaks my heart because it's all guts And it's all B-A-L-L-S, baby.
Yeah.
And you don't believe that, man. You step into the ring with the Chivos, and we'll give you a little lesson of what wrestling is all about.
Yeah, and Enigma, didn't you have something, I'm not going to say similar, but like that with Solar, you know, that you guys started really going at it in the ring, you know?
Yes. I told you that incident that happened in Puebla, in Pachuca, I'm sorry, that he drove me to the Pachuca, and then we wrestled, and he was in the opposite dressing room, and I was in my own dressing room. And we were in the main event, and we started going at it, and it started getting tough and tough and tough. We started really hitting each other really hard, you know.
Uh-huh.
We got right in the face, you know, pop, pop, boom, pop, pop, boom. And then he was the one who was going to drive me home, you know, to Mexico. After the match, I go to my dressing room, and I have nobody to take me back to Mexico. So I'm asking one of the guys there, who can take me back to Mexico? No. We're all from here. So somebody can take me to the bus station to go back to Mexico. I don't think Solano's going to take me back.
Uh-huh.
No, nobody's here. So, shit. So I'm waiting there, and all of a sudden, half an hour later, somebody comes into the dressing room. Come on, is this Enigma? Yeah. What the fuck? Yeah, so I was waiting for you in the car. What the fuck?
One minute, the car.
So I go out there and I get into his car, and I said, oh, shit, man, it's a 2-hour drive. I hope it doesn't car over. They said, okay, let's go.
Drop you off.
Round 5, baby.
Oh, man. So I would look in the corner of his eye, you know. His eye was swollen. My both eyes were swollen. I said, what the fuck?
Yeah.
But, you
know, yeah, but
you know, good 2 hours, he didn't mention a thing about the match. Nothing. We talked about Pedro Infante. We talked about... but not a thing about
that's
the
a
match.
Good story.
But his eyes were swollen. And my both eyes were swollen, man. What the fuck?
But you left it in the ring. You left all that in the ring.
He left it in the ring.
That's what
he
it's all about, man.
He brought me up to my hotel room, and he said, okay, brother.
I'll see you next time. Hey, well, let me ask you two a question. And Michael Parks is here, too. I don't know if he remembers back then, but do you guys remember I used to have a partner that wrestled as the Bronx Bomber?
Yeah, he's our pal. Yeah, my buddy.
Okay.
New Yorker, right?
But what happened was, is, you know, me...
He's a good guy.
Yeah, he was my partner for like 5 years, but this is why. If you call me and say, hey, look, come to San Diego, I'm going to pay you $100. You drive all the way to San Diego, and they say, oh, I can only give you 60. So either you make your 60 or you go home with nothing. So I take the 60, I say, hey, we had a deal, just don't call me anymore or whatever. Okay, Bomber would beat the snot out of you. He would, if you dare come up to him and said that you're going to give him $60, you're going to, first of all, you're not going to wake up for another half hour. So for 5 years, when he would call me and say, hey, we got a show over here, we're going to get $150 or whatever, I go, let's go, because I knew we were going to get paid. So we did a show for
– You're with a muscle.
Oh, dude, never had a problem, ever. So we were doing a show for Bart, and there was Bart comes in and goes, hey, you know, this promoter I'm not too familiar with, but, you know, if he tries to screw you, don't worry, I'll take care of you, blah, 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 whatever. I said, okay. So – this promoter comes in about a half hour and starts setting the tone. He goes, oh, well, I might not be able to. The house isn't as packed as I thought it was going to be. You know? I said, oh, man. So another half hour passes by, and he comes in, and he goes, how many wrestlers are willing to take a pay cut? And everybody, Superboy, Piloto, they all looked at the Bomber. And he turned around and looked at them like that, and he goes, nobody's taking a pay cut here. And he walked out. So we were talking, and then Superboy goes, hey, isn't that him right there? He had took the box, you know, the lock box with all the money, and he was taking off. He was gonna leave with the money. So the bomber takes off after him. And I can't run, I'm slow as hell. So I'm like, Al, no, please, please, please. Man, by the time I got there, boom, bacatelas, he knocked him out. He took his cigar, pulled his pants down, and stuck his cigar in his butt. And he turns around and goes, hey, Dan, look what I did. And I go, what are you doing? So he reaches the box, pulls the box out, and he goes, okay, what do you need, Dan? 50 for gas? Okay, here's 50 for you. Hey, piloto, ven, what do you want to pay? He paid everybody their fee.
Yeah,
left the guy laying.
A regular Robin Hood. Regular Robin Hood.
We all took off. Bobby,
let me tell you. I won't tell you what promoter sent us. Way the hell out in the middle of nowhere. It's called Yermo. It's right almost. It's still California, but it's maybe 5 miles before a state line to enter Nevada.
Yeah.
Yermo, it's a tiny little shit-ass little town. There's an encampment there for the soldiers. Well, anyway,
yeah.
We're there, and the show starts. We took some of our guys there, and the guy says, you know what, the same song, you know, I expected a big crowd, and he's making all these excuses. And the guys are waiting there. He says, you could have all the beer you wanted, because it was a tiny little bar, too. And then pretty soon the waitress, he goes, oh, we're out of beer. So everyone's getting really hot. And that really pissed off Enigma. Enigma just gets him by the tie, and he has him against the wall. And he says, you son of a bitch, you pay up right now or you're going to get really hurt. Well, when he says that, the cops come in, man. And the cops say, hey, everybody, take it easy. Everybody hang loose. And I go up to the cop and I said, look it, sir, this is what's going on. We're all wearing our masks, by the way. And
yeah.
The cops are a little, you know, they were a little, I could tell they were a little intimidated or a little uncomfortable, obviously,
yeah.
in the situation. And then the cop, I talked to him calmly, and he says, okay, but you got to tell your brother, you got to let him go. I tell him, hijo, tranquilo, hold on. But then the cop seems to be all right, and I pull him to the side, I go, can you please step out, maybe just give us 10 minutes with this guy. That's all. Just 10 minutes, 5 minutes. He says, if this guy gets hurt, you're all going to jail, man. He says, because the guy was, I'm just going to the ATM and let me go. He goes, the cop says, we're going to escort him. Then he'll come back. Son of a bitch never came back. The cop was obviously, you know, connected to this guy. And oh, man, that was a bitter night. But I mean,
One of many experiences.
Yeah, but
that's the life of a luchador. You know, it's the life of a wrestler. If you're in Japan, if you're in Russia, everybody goes through that. Everybody.
Yeah.
And that's
just the way
it is, man.
Just, you know, Antonio from All Nations, I love that guy. And, you know, and for some reason, Al did too. But he goes, remember they used to do a gimmick called the Payasitos de America? They used to have a little bag like full of candy, you know, so they could throw to the kids or whatever. So Antonio goes, hey, Fabiano, you want some candy? And I go, yes, I'm getting some candy. I go, hey, Al. I go, you want some candy? And he goes, no, man, I don't want no candy. And I go, well, that's your pay. And Antonio goes, oh, he's in. No. He goes, don't tell him that. He goes, don't do that. He's going to kill me. And for some reason, Al loved it. And he goes, you know, he gives him a hug and all that. And he goes, nah, man. And Antonio looked at me and he goes, don't ever do that to me again. Don't ever do that to me again. But that's how it was. It's a good point what you make. You kind of have to expect that in the business. But just between us three, and we're running up against the clock, and Mike, the booking has to be the hardest thing in the world because you can't please everybody. You know what I mean? You know, some guys are going to get a little upset or whatever, but it's just all in the way you handle it, right, Enigma?
That's right. But you know what?
Yeah.
One thing that Lucha Libre Alliance does and has respect for the wrestlers and for the families and for the fans is that what we promise the wrestler, what they're going to get paid, they're going to get paid. No matter what, if the crowd is not a good crowd, they're still going to get paid what we promised them. And that's Lucha Libre.
A deal's a deal.
They're going to get paid their money.
Yeah.
That's
because
we
respect the wrestlers. We respect their hard work, and we respect the business. And that's why Lucha Libre Alliance is number one business in Southern California.
Yeah,
hey,
and like,
let me ask you guys a question. So, fellas, if you have,
hey there, Michael, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing very well. How you guys doing tonight?
How you doing, brother?
Yes, it is. If you guys have a wrestler who's known to be, he throws potatoes, he throws shots, and you're getting complaints from other wrestlers about this guy being, I won't say unprofessional, but he's just being very stiff and just throwing potatoes.
Yeah.
And he's starting to get what's the word I'm trying to find? He's starting to get a reputation of being that kind of guy that people don't want to work with him.
All right.
What do you guys do in that case? You pull him to the side, let him know how other wrestlers feel about the way he's working. Do you let him work another match and you watch for yourself to see if what everybody is saying is true? How do you handle that?
The first step, I step into the ring with that guy.
Okay.
That's the first step. Because I got to feel it firsthand. Let me tell you one thing, Michael. Unfortunately, through the years, we get a lot of kids that are coming up that are really not geared to be in this business and that complain for any little thing. And that are just not geared for this business. This business is not easy, man. This business is tough. So my first step I would step into the ring with this guy. Let's go. And I don't mean in a professional ring. I mean in the gym. Let's see what you got. Let's see what you got, son. And the guy is stiff. Well, he's a stiff motherfucker. But he's a wrestler. That's what wrestlers do. Now, if guys are and complain, then you have no business in this business. And that would be my first step. Now, if it's a guy who's taking cheap shots, now we're talking a different business. The guy's already tapping out, and the guy's still hurting the guy. Okay, now we're not okay. Now, that's the kind of guy you don't want in your roster. But if he's just a stiff guy, like, you know, WWE had this guy, this Irish guy, I'd love to watch him work, Finley. He was just a tough guy. And why was he tough? Because he's a wrestler. Hello.
Yeah.
We're not golfers. We're not playing tennis. We're pro wrestlers, and it's tough in there. And so I would feel the guy out, and I tell you, some of these guys that cry and complain, they don't need to be in our business. And those are the guys that you have to weed out. Not the stiff guy, the babies.
You hit me too hard. My eyes were rolling back when you hit me. I can't go with it.
We had it with Bobby.
they won't laugh.
I won't tell you the guys who were crying, but Bobby told him, because that guy went complaining to Bobby, and Bobby told him, come here. All right. In front of the stiff guy, he goes, tell me what you told me. No, I don't want to tell. Okay, tell me. He says, he's too stiff. I go, well, then talk to him. Tell him. Stop being a baby and crying to me. Talk to the guy. So that's what I would do. That's what old wrestlers always do, Michael. We confront the guy. We go to the gym. Let's see what all this is about. And then go from there, you know?
Yeah, but that's why do you have somebody like Enigma who's been in the business and he knows if they go up to him and say, hey, man, it's a fight every night with this guy or whatever, he's gonna know. And he's going to say, look, man, he's either going to tell the other guy, look, man, you just can't take it. Maybe you're not meant for this business, or go to the guy, hey, man, you got to ease up, man. You're going to hurt somebody. I'm not going to make any money or whatever. You know what I mean? That's why they have somebody like Enigma who knows the business. He knows that it is tough, but maybe this guy is going a little too far or whatever. So it all works out.
It's never going too far. Why you work out and you go up and you're going to compete.
Exactly.
It's not show business. You're going up there. You're going to compete. So you got to have your gonads in the right place, man, because you're going up there to Pete. And if last night you were partying and you were with your lady till I don't know what time in the morning, well, then you're screwed, man, because that dude's going up there to stiff you, so you better be freaking ready.
Yeah,
and,
that's your
fault. Do you remember that short little guy that used to wrestle around here, Príncipe Joel?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
That was a son of a bitch.
He wrestled Perro Russo one-on-one at Antonio's. He wrestled Perro Russo one-on-one. I was seconding Perro Russo, and man, that guy was good. Perro Russo goes, give me my bone. I got to hit this guy. You left it in the back. They took it to the back. Man, I mean, it's true. Yeah, that guy was really, he would go after you. And if you weren't ready,
okay, well, that's
hey,
what I'm talking about.
That's a good point.
You're interrupting, but the same thing when we wrestled with Perro Aguayo is a tough guy, you know. But we wrestled with him and we beat him. But it was tough. I was tough match because he's a tough guy, you know. But we're there. We're always there.
Well, speaking of that, since we do have the big live broadcast coming up, it's going to be at Paul's Photos, we play a little game called Chop Trivia. Okay? Since Michael Parks was inquiring about that, maybe Mike could take a couple of the chops, and then he can see for himself how
the
business goes or whatever.
I suggest you brush up in your history, brother.
But I...
so we'll be... We'll real quick, usually when we play Chop Trivia, I ask a question, and then if they get it right, they get something from the prize table. If not, somebody has to take a chop. But Mike has the little what's the name of that thing, Mike, where you throw the sandbags in the little hole thing?
Nothing. I'm doing a radio show.
Oh my god! Anyways, you get three shots to throw the sandbags in the little hole. So if you make one of the three, you get something from the table. If you don't, somebody's going to take a chop. So, Mike, right here, now live on UWC Radio as co-owner of the United Wrestling Council, along with Manny Pinson, will you be willing to take a few chops at Chop Trivia?
Brother, we're always taking chops. We're always taking chops, and we're always giving chops. And it really is strong. We're ready.
Yeah.
Mike,
he asked me to take one chop. Now you're telling me to take a few chops. I'll take a few chops.
Okay, well, because we don't know how many people are going to win or not, so we'll have to find out. But real quick, for the people listening,
Michael, buddy, let me tell Michael the way Lucha Libre does that chop quiz.
Yeah.
First, we start with a chop, and then we ask a question.
Yeah. It's reverse.
It's a new concept.
Hey, but let me tell you something.
Question.
Let me tell you something. I've been in the ring with the Chivos, and if you don't stick your chest out and take that chop like a man, you know what's going to happen? It's going to be worse. If you try to squeeze in or whatever, you put that chest out and you take
that's
so
right,
you,
brother. That's right.
Yeah, it'll be worse on you. So for the
don't
people listeners, you got to come down and check it out.
I'm a grown man.
You got to do it for the company. It's a live broadcast. It's going to be Saturday, August 29th at Paul's Photo. Make sure you come down, check it out. It's at 23845 Hawthorne Boulevard in Torrance, California. It's Paul's Photos. We're going to have live music. Since the Chivos are going to be there, I'm going to play some cumbias and some merengue and stuff so you can see the
chivo,
moves.
Brother, el chivo con todo el
we have to mix it up.
Give me this one more time.
Go for it. It is Paul's Photo. It's at 23845 Hawthorne Boulevard in the city of Torrance. It's right off of Hawthorne Boulevard and PCH. You can't miss it. It's going to be from 10 to 12 noon. I'll make sure and send you guys all the information so that you know what's happening. We got giveaways. We got Chop Trivia going. We got live music. We got a whole bunch of stuff going on. We're going to be taking some professional pictures in studio and stuff like that. You get a chance to check out all the equipment that they have over there. It's always a good time, especially when the Chivos are there. They're always there. They're always
Let me go
over
the address one more time, bro. One more time.
The address.
23845
Hawthorne
Boulevard.
Boulevard. Yeah. It's in the city of Torrance.
City of Torrance.
Yeah, and I'll shoot you the phone number just in case if you want to give that out to. I'll shoot that to you.
Because we want to invite our fans. our fans. You know what, Bobby? Let me tell you, the fans like you a lot, pal. Our fans, our Lucha Libre Alliance fans, because we communicate with them even with right now that we are shut down. They communicate with me all the time, and they ask, man, we miss. And I tell them, who are some of the wrestlers that you really miss most? And they, you know, they mention these guys, but your name comes up a lot. They say, man, that Fabiano, that guy, he just
Fabiano,
he's a tough wrestler. But at the same time, he entertains. He says he's always one of my friends says he's always whistling. He'll just
they asked me to do that in the car when I was going home. They go, hey, Fabiano, go, shh. And so that's how they call me. But these two kids come up to me and they go, hey, Fabiano, you know, we came from Long Beach. But I go, I live in Long Beach. They go, you do? And I go, yeah. And they go, I was looking at them. I go, why? And they go, well, we thought you lived like in a big mansion in Beverly Hills. And I said, oh, my God, you're one disillusioned. Yes, no, I live in Long Beach. They couldn't believe that I lived in Long Beach, but it's always a good. I have never ever had a bad time going to work for Lucha Libre. It's always so much fun,
well,
and the people like Alondra Campos and people like that. I saw them at a different show, and they came up to me and go, "Hey, when are you back at Lucha Libre Alliance?" And I'm like, "Oh, I think in 2 weeks." Okay, we're gonna be there. So they do have a good solid fan base over there. So hey, a million thank yous for the Chivos for coming on. Don't forget, come and see everybody live. The Chivos are going to bring the tag belts and everything. If you want to take a picture with the belts and everything like that, we'll have everything here. I'll make sure to give all the information for sure on all the social media. So I look forward to seeing you guys. Of course, Michael and Manny, who's at the office taking care of business, the other co-owner, we look forward to seeing you guys all at Paul's Photo for the big live show. Hey, a million thank yous for coming on to both Guyana and Nima de Oro.
Thank you, Chivo Power forever.
You got Chivo it. Guyana and Nima de Oro. We'll be right back after this. Check them out.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you.
Because I've done, dude, we're talking at least 20 years that we've been wrestling back and forth, and sometimes me with a different partner, sometimes one-on-one with Guyam and stuff like that. But I've known them for so long. You know, it's just you have a respect, like a certain respect, you know what I mean, for wrestlers like that that have been in the business for so long and help me out a lot, man. Even when here's the thing, real quick, for the people listening to us, you're here, you're at UWC Radio. Don't forget, you can check out the United Wrestling Council, working on a big show. Got co-owner Michael Parks here with me, of course. Manny Pinson back at the office taking care of business. He's always working, you know, getting us some sponsors, working on getting this thing going, which we're there. I mean, the bullet's in the chamber. We're just waiting for the CDC so we could pull that trigger and have the big show. It's booked. It's ready to go. We're just waiting to get the okay. But, you know, Mike, when you're a young wrestler and you're coming up in the business, there's certain people that don't want to have anything to do with you. You know what I mean? They're like, whatever. But then there's certain wrestlers like, yeah, man, well, look, man, if we do this, this is going to, you know, this is going to get you over. This is what you got. Don't do that, because that's, you know, and that's the way those guys work. They wanted to work with us, and they would tell the promoter, hey, put us with Fabiano and the Unholy, and we'll do this. And, you know, and it was, you know, it helped a lot. They, We wrestled in Long Beach. It was in downtown. It was at a club. And when he was talking about Príncipe Joel, he was wrestling Sin Límite at that show. And we had finished. We took a beating by the Chivos. I mean, we were still kind of fresh in the business. And I mean, not a beating where, you know, they're punching you in the face, but just putting you through
right.
the ringer, putting moves and stuff. So we had a match. They put us through a big-time match. But that match, we were there watching, and Príncipe Joel was wrestling Sin Límite, and we got to get him on here so we could talk about that. He flew out of the ring, and instead of, you know, like catching him and coming down with him, Joel caught him and powerbombed him on the cement outside. I mean, just splat. And Sergio and I looked at each other, and he goes, did he just pass? Yeah, I have never seen anything like that. I mean, he powerbombed him right on the cement. He didn't get up for probably a good maybe 3 minutes, three, 4 minutes or so or whatever. And he was shook. He was shook up. We got to get him. I'm going to call him. I'm going to try to get him on here. I talked to him at the first Lucha Expo in Vegas, and we talked about that or whatever. So I got to get him on here so we can talk. And he also had his ear like almost completely torn off too. He got caught in the ropes, kind of like Cactus Jack. So we'll definitely have to get them back on the air. So, well, real quick,
you know,
Mike, before we get
to
him, go ahead.
He was one of the smoothest wrestlers I'd seen. It was watching Príncipe de Joel wrestle was almost like watching like El Dandy wrestle, you know,
just
for real. Just smooth.
Yeah.
It just all the way through. So yeah, he was bad, man. He was bad.
Yeah, he could.
But
when he wrestled Pedro Russo and that at Antonio's, man, it was knockdown drag out, but go ahead.
I was going to say, I was laughing because Enigma sounded like Snooker from 83 when he was like, man, that clip I saw, that clip, I'm taking it personal. If we got to do it in the cage, man.
Enigma's shoulder has been, you know, once you tear that, get that little tear in the rotator cuff, it doesn't go away. You know, you keep working on it and stuff like that. And if you go under the knife and get it done, they have to open the whole shoulder and everything. So he's been rehabbing it for a while. So now with this COVID, that's all he's been doing. He's been able to rehab and train and stuff like that. So I think when he comes back, he's going to be coming back like a fireball, dude. He's going to come after. So, hey, Fletch Fu guys, if you're out there, let's go, buddy. Let's take these two on in the cage. I'll go. All right, you start. And then we'll go from there. But anyway, well, you know, it's funny because everybody keeps asking me. You know, I was on the phone today for a long time getting a lot of these people to come down to the live show, which is going to be at Paul's Photos, and a lot of jiu-jitsu guys and even some of the jiu-jitsu guys that I talked to, like Fernie from Conca Fight Gear, he's like, hey, man, any word on that show? And I'm like, dude, we're just waiting for them to give us the word. He goes, that's all my kids talk about because, you know, they see you on the Facebook and stuff like that and the social media. Like, hey, man, when's that Lucha show coming? We want to go. So people are waiting, dude, to get out there to a show because it's been such – we're going on almost 5 months now, right?
Yeah, and, you know, I was just, you know, glazing over the news today. Actually, I was reading a post from one of our homeboys from Stafford who's in the music industry, was talking about all the businesses that are pretty much, you know, shutting down for 2020, and it's everybody, bro. It's, you know, Circus of Soul. They're filing for bankruptcy. There's no concerts. You know, no big shows this year.
Yeah.
So it's you know
the only ones
go ahead.
The only ones that are running right now is the UFC. You know, with the MMA and then AEW and WWE. You know, with no crowd. You know, they're just running. So Dana White came on and said, I really don't see any live shows till after 2021. He goes, I don't know if they're going to get this all sewn up or whatever. I think the thing that we got going for us with the United Wrestling Council is that we can separate people. Like if you come with three people and we say, okay, how many got three? We could sit you over here 6 feet apart, put the next people six down. You know, we just keep going like that. I think I come up. drop my mic. I think we could definitely be able to do that, but it's just a matter of them saying we could do it, right?
Right. Right. And,
well,
you know,
what's your take? You think you're gonna have to do it, wait till 2021?
In my heart of hearts, I think so. I think, you know, we're coming up on the end of August. We're going into September.
Yep.
September, October, November, December. You know,
well,
you got 4 months left.
What's gonna suck, which we're gonna have to talk to Manny, is if that does happen, our show is outside. So we gotta make sure that we do the show and it doesn't rain. You know what I mean? So there's a lot of stuff that we have to figure out. But what is going on right now, which we were talking about earlier, is this Sunday, this coming Sunday, at the Wrestling Guy store, Damian, Bestia, and Mecha Wolf are coming down to do a signing at the Wrestling Guy store. We're definitely going to be there. What I would like to see, Mike, which I think would be pretty cool, is after we get this show under our belt and stuff, I would like to see High Risk against Bestia and Mecha Wolf. I mean, I think that would be pretty cool. What do you think about that?
Well, I believe the three of us will need to pull those guys aside on Sunday and
let them know.
Bit of talking.
Yeah,
a little bit of talking and see.
I'm gonna, you know, when they're gonna be in Denver the day before. They're doing like a kind of like a meet and greet, almost like a sort of like an expo out there in Denver. So I believe they're going to fly from Denver and then go to San Diego and then come down that afternoon. So they're going to be tired. It's going to be hot. So I'm bringing a nice chest with everything. There's going to be birongas, energy drinks, water, soda, whatever you want. We'll make sure that they're well taken care of. And they're going to be at the Wrestling Guy store from 1 to 3. It's going to be Damian, Bestia, and Mecha Wolf. If you want, we're going to be there. We're going to go hang out for a while. So if you want to check it out, it's at 6085 State Street in the city of Huntington Park. We're going to head down there. We're probably going to get down there about 2 o'clock or so, because what usually happens, Mike, is you get a pretty big line when they get there at 1 o'clock, and then they start, you know, doing autographs and taking pictures and stuff like that, and then the line kind of goes through. So between 2 and 2:30, it kind of slows down. That'll give them a chance to drink some beers or something, and then we can sit down and talk and say, hey, look, man, what's it going to take? You know, and we've already pretty much established a good relationship with Mecha Wolf. You know, and Damian, you know, from him working your show back at the Zacatecano, and it's a trip,
right?
Huh, that we're gonna be talking actually to his son now.
Oh, is that his son?
Yeah, that's Bestia. That's Damian's. I think it's his oldest son, if I'm not mistaken. Imagine he was a little kid when you had the show. He was like fucking 3 or something like that. And now he's Bestia. So we definitely are going to be down there. If you guys want to come down and check it out, you can look at your next two weekends are booked. Sunday, you can go down and check out Bestia, Damian, and Mecha Wolf at the Wrestling Guy store. And then the following Saturday, you can come to the live broadcast. We'll totally make it worth your while. We're going to have music. We're going to have stuff to give away, chop trivia. All the wrestlers are going to be there. You can take pictures. We're going to bring all the belts. It's going to be huge. So you definitely want to come down and check it out. So that's what we're talking about. You know, we've been steadily working hard to get this show going. We're set. You know, High Risk is going to take on Julio Rodriguez and who else? Ruben Iglesias in the main event. We got Guyam and Fletch Fugaz versus who do we got against again? Jaguar de Oro and Power Baby Genesis in the semi-main. And then in the third, you got myself and the Unholy against Biggie Biggs. And who else we got over there with Biggie Biggs and myself? I can't remember. Oh my God, I got to go look at the. You know, I never pull my paperwork out when I'm supposed to for the radio show, but we'll make sure we got El Mecánico going against Alas de Oro in the beginning, which is going to be a huge lucha match. What I'm working on is Lucy Love versus Candy Girl, and I think Candy Girl's down. Lucy Love had a baby that's I think it's getting close to being a year old. So I think she'll be ready by then, especially with this COVID. So we actually, Candy Girl's down. I just got to talk to Lucy Love so we can get that girls match in. And then we'll go from there. So we're going to have a little bit of everything, right, Mick?
Yeah, man, that's what, you know, that I think that's what makes everything that much better and that much funner, because we're professional
definitely.
Wrestling. you know, Lucha, strong women, you know, it's going to be off the hook.
For sure.
Totally.
And when I tell everybody, you know, that this is the perfect place to have a show, you know, just the parking lot alone. Is that they're like, man, if I could park right on the premises and be right there, that's great. You know, I hate to park in the neighborhood and have to walk down or whatever. So it's all set. We're just fine tuning just a few things here and there, but we're definitely going to make sure we have everything set as soon as they say we can, and we'll pull the trigger. So with all that being said, don't forget, huge live broadcast coming up. Well, this Sunday we're going to head out to the Wrestling Guy store so we can see Damian Bestia and Mecha Wolf. That's our goal. We want to bring. Dude, if we can get Mecha Wolf and Bestia to wrestle against High Risk, that's going to blow the roof off that place. First of all, everybody's going to want to come and see him. And when we put him against High Risk, and because High Risk has those moves, you know, for lack of a better term, high risk moves. You know, they do that combination
right.
Stunner with inverted moonsault and stuff like that. But when you see Mecha Wolf and he hits you with that 450, dude, pull him up sometime. From the Crash, if you go to YouTube and pull up some of the stuff he did in Crash, Bestia will set him up. He'll hit him with the 450, come out of the 450 and do a dive out onto the guy that's on the outside. I mean, it is freaking amazing, man. That guy's got skill. When I talk to him, he's like, yeah, you know, I want to do some stuff with my band, and I want to, and I'm like, dude, I'll ask you this question before we get out of here. Do you think it's smart? Like, he's on top of his game right now. To retire while you're on top of your game so everybody will remember you? Or do you think he should, you know, take it at least a little, I would say at least another year, like do some kind of like a farewell tour or something like that?
It's all up to the individual, man. You know, if that flame isn't burning as brightly as it was, and you know, you're not feeling it like you used to, what are you doing it for?
Right.
He's just collecting a paycheck then.
But he was on, he was doing an interview for the Spanish, a Spanish podcast, and it was live on Facebook. So like I was on there, DJ Vos, a bunch of people. So when people like other promoters and people are listening in just to see what he's got to say, cause they want to bring him, dude, you're at the top of your game. I mean, that whole thing was loaded. And everybody, I kept putting in, hey, man, DJ Vos knows what he's doing, because he would put him against Black Tarros, and that would make a great show. And, you know, we had a whole conversation, all of us, you know, about, you know, what this guy can bring if you book him and stuff. So right now, that dude's on, even though we're in COVID, that dude's on the top of his game. Put it this way. I've been in the business for a long time. I see, you know, when I see somebody, I can go, wow, this guy's okay. But then I see some, let me tell you something. When I saw Daga wrestle Jake Atlas at PCW, easily to me, match of the year. I mean, that dance partner, when they put Jake Atlas with Daga, who can work, I was like, man, dude, to pull money out of my pocket when I had the flu, I couldn't even throw the money. I had to give it to the lady in front of me to give it to him. I mean, that, you know, you see them, you go, this guy can go, you know. So Mecha Wolf, when I see him, I say, man, this guy's got something, man. He can, you know, he can go. His promos, like I've used some of his promos on my other show just because it's just what, you know, the way he comes off. And then you put him with somebody like Bestia who can set him up and he can knock him down. It just works, man. So that's my goal. You know, I know you guys, as the owners, you and Manny, you know, when we sit down and talk, I think, man, if we can get them over here and put them against High Risk, that's going to blow the roof off the place. So that's the main goal for the United Wrestling Council is that, right? To put a show where people are going to go, that's a matchup I want to go see it, right?
We are out to get the response of, I want to come back. I want to see this guy wrestle this guy. You know,
right.
we want to give the fans what they want. And
right.
We want to have the guys come out there and put on such a show that you kind of sort of force the fans to say, hey, man, I got to see this cat again.
Yeah.
This is a bad dude. I got to see him again.
Yeah.
So,
I want those people,
man,
to go home happy. I want them to go, dude, that was a hell of a match. Cause I did, when I saw Daga and Jake Atlas, I went, regardless of what happened, I went home and said, dude, that was, and when we went to Leonardo's and saw the minis, you know,
yeah.
I went home and, you know, I saw Demus on the way out and I'm like, dude, you know, that was a hell. He goes, oh, thank you. You gonna buy one of my shirts? And I'm like, dude, he had like smalls and mediums. I'm like, what am I going to do with that, bro? But I will definitely, you know, to guys like that that put in work, if I can help them, I definitely will buy a shirt or whatever. So anyways, before we get out of here, because I had lists of stuff that I never get to, and one of them on the other show was, you know, like best tag team, blah, 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 whatever. But somebody asked, what's the best faction that you've ever liked? Of course, you asked me, it's going to be NWO Japan. I mean, I thought NWO Japan was cool. It had Masa Saito, Masa Chono, Great Muda, Scott Flash Norton, NWO Sting. I thought that was the coolest faction ever. I thought they were badass. I liked the whole NWO was cool, but I like NWO Japan. I thought that was the baddest faction going. What about yourself, Michael Parks?
Man, you know I'm old school. So you already know where I'm going with this. My best faction, the one I love the most, got to be the Horsemen. Got to be the Horsemen. Got to be the Horsemen. Man, look, I'll tell you why. You had four guys that could work. I mean, four guys that could really go. When it was, you know, Tully, Arn, Rick, and Ole, right?
Right.
And they could back it up on the mic. Their promos got butts in the seats. And then they knew what to do in the ring to bring butts to the seats.
Yeah.
You know, and they lived outside
that lifestyle.
The ring. They lived the life of the Four Horsemen.
They lived the life. Well, let's put it this way. I'm glad that, you know, because I'm old now, but I'm glad I lived in the era where I could come home and watch WTBS and just wait for them to come on, because they were like,
yeah.
You know, Ric Flair would cut a promo and talk about those, you know, $1,000 shoes. And then he'd go, I had some kid from such and such Park Malinkin, you know, or whatever. And they knew how to draw a crowd, man. They could work. It's like you said, because it's funny because Arn and Tully didn't look like much. But, man, those guys could go. I mean, those guys could go and put on a show and work, man. So I agree with you on that. That's a good faction. I just like the NWO Japan because I just thought it was cool. I've always liked Japan. I mean, I thought even All Japan with Terry Gordy and Dr. Death Steve Williams, because it's a different level out there. It's just, you know, just really. And when Ric Flair would go out there, I would listen to his podcast and he'd go, they love me in Japan because Brody and Hanson would beat the crap out of them. So when I go over there and actually work with them, they love me out there. So that's awesome.
I still sit back and I'll watch his matches, you know, when they had the it was champion versus champion, him against Rick Martel, or wrestling. I remember him wrestling Fujinami.
He wrestled.
Oh, dude, and that was, I mean, this is in Fujinami in his heyday.
And
I mean, he was a bad sucker back then.
Yeah,
you know, I thought he was better than Inoki. So it was
when you can work with anybody and make them, you know, shine them up like he would, that's why he went all over. I read two of his biographies, and then I read like Jerry Lawler's biography and the Gary, what's his name from Dallas, from the Sportatorium. I read his, but, and they all said the same thing. When Ric Flair would come to town, we'd have to move to the stadium because it would be so packed. And the day he'd leave, I'd be on the phone the next day. When can we get the champ back? When can we, you know, so when you're, you know, that ain't much in demand, you're a bad dude. But anyways, run up against the clock. So for the people listening, don't forget, huge live broadcast Saturday, August 29th. It's going to be at Paul's Photo. It's at 23845 Hawthorne Boulevard. And the city of Torrance is going to be there from 10 to 12 noon. We had the Chivos on. They're going to be down there. They're going to be in full gimmick. If you want to take a picture, they're going to have the – well, they never go anywhere without the mask, but they're going to have all their gear on. So if you want to come down, take a picture with the belts and the Chivos and everything like that, it's going to be slamming. So, Michael Parks, I will see you Sunday when we go down to the Wrestling Guy store to go check out Mecha Wolf, Damien, and Bestia. And then I will see you next Friday. We'll talk a little bit more about the live broadcast. We'll have some more guests that are confirmed to come down and check it out, and we'll go from there. I think it's going to be slamming, right?
Oh, it's going to be off the hook, man. I can't wait.
Yeah, I agree. And Manny, who's back at the office taking care of business and all that, we'll see you soon. We'll see you on Sunday. And we'll, dude, if we're not working on Sunday, we're somewhere out there promoting, or we're out there trying to get these guys establishing relationships so we can bring you the best wrestling that you're going to see in SoCal. So with all that being said, big thank you to Michael Parks, man. I'll talk to you Sunday. Manny Pinson, I'll see you Sunday. Big thanks to the Chivos for coming up. And don't forget, huge live broadcast in Torrance. Everybody better be there. All right, Mac, I'll see you next week.
All right. You got everybody have a good night.
Late.